Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Connor Orr, MMQB. Connor Orr, have you ever gone bowling with Bowling for Soup, the band?
Oh, wow. I think I would remember if I did.
You probably would.
So I would say no.
Have you ever done anything with a band? Like, ever done, I mean, anything of note with a band? Ever?
I don't think so.
No?
I'm a pretty boring guy. You know, football writers aren't very exciting. No?
I'll have to agree with you there. No, I'm just kidding. I had Duran come to my school when I was in junior high, and I wasn't there that day because I pretended to be sick. How about that?
I mean, that's something that I would certainly regret for the rest of my life, and it seems
100%.
Like it's one of the things that that's stuck with you for sure.
It has. I'm thinking about it all these years later from I don't remember what grade I was in, 7th or 8th grade. And then 40 years later, it's still driving me crazy. But anyway, we'll move on from that. Connor's article from yesterday, will Freddie Kitchen survive his first season? Well, I'll put it to you. Will he? Do you think he will survive the season?
I don't know. It's a tough call, right? Almost have to ask yourself, why should he survive the first season? And I'm almost never an advocate. I wrote a few weeks ago of firing a coach mid-season. I think a lot of times it's nonsensical unless you have other options on the coaching staff that you want to evaluate before you blow the entire thing up.
Right.
I think the Browns probably have two or three guys on the staff that they, you know, if I was an owner, I might want to see have a chance to manage this personnel before I blow it up. But, you know, if you just look at it from the outside in, you made this as a continuity move so that Baker Mayfield could continue to get better, everybody could continue to take a step forward, and that didn't happen. And so now you have to make that decision, and that's why I think it's appropriate to raise that question at this point.
Connor, you know, to me, and, you know, I've been working here almost 10 years, and we've been through so many coaches in just the short time I've been here, let alone people that have been following this team their whole lives. But I hate to want to say a coach should be fired. I can't believe it's come to this. He, you know, but you watch every game and you see the ridiculous decisions, the lack of essentially institutional control, no accountability, no discipline, players going bananas on Twitter. It seems to me a rudderless ship, and better to fire a coach quickly again than stick with the wrong guy. But that being said, I would not fire him during the season. And the reason is, I think they're in this boat because they fired Hugh Jackson, which they should have, and they were influenced too much by last year. And I think teams often are in that case, and I don't want to see that happen again. Do you think that's unfair?
No, I think there's certainly some merit to that. I mean, I said that as well last year that I think a lot of the confidence in their current group of players was a little bit of false confidence here, springboarded by the loss of Hugh Jackson, who is such a huge emotional sort of counterweight to the productivity there. You had a bad schedule down the stretch. You weren't really sure what exactly you had coming into this season, and I think that there was definitely some miscalculations made on that front. And so, yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, does Freddie Kitchens deserve it's a relatively lighter stretch down the end of the season, the chance to prove himself against, you know, you get the Bengals, you get some of the worst teams on your schedule, maybe. But, you know, I think it's one of these things where John Dorsey built this roster to win right now. And so if it's not happening right now, there's a quicker hook attached to a lot of this.
Last segment, Connor, I was talking about how, you know, we got so caught up in the talent they had. And the Browns have enough talent to win. I think we all know that. But when you have a lot of guys who have done no winning here, and there doesn't seem to be a great leader from the coach. The quarterback, I think, has done a poor job leading, at least publicly. Maybe he's better in the locker room than he's been from a public standpoint. And I think there are systematic problems within the Browns, led by ownership, who has consistently shown no concern for character. And I think that was taken up another notch by John Dorsey Is that an unfair criticism?
It's certainly interesting. I mean, I agree with you that ownership is, you know, all problems are symptomatic of ownership, right? If you look across the NFL landscape, you know, anybody that you talk to that comes in and evaluates these teams from an outside perspective will tell you that it starts with the owner. It's a lead by example kind of deal. And, you know, it's not really one of those things that you can just get out of by saying I'm delegating all this to a general manager. John Dorsey has his faults, too, and there needs to be someone managing him. And that's why you have an owner that should be in the office every day, that should be checking in on things every day. And if you're not, I think this is sort of the deal. You know, this is sort of the thing that you get where it's a win now roster, but one that has significant holes so that they can't really run an offense functionally, and just sort of a bizarre mix of personalities. And, you know, it's a little bit of a confusing time, I think, over there.
We're talking with Connor Orr, MMQB. Connor, you talk about in your article, you know, the pressure Freddie Kitchens was under. Usually you come in to coach the Browns, and if you finish with 5-6 wins your first season, it's a positive step. But, I mean, this team, it's amazing. This team went from being bad for so long to getting – I was right on board big time, spreading the hype. Most of us thought they'd be really good, and now it's just back to the feeling of same old Browns. You know?
I agree. It's one of those things where, you know, I was guilty of it too. I mean, I think I picked them at 9-7, but I thought that they were going to sneak into the playoffs in second place in the division there. But yeah, I mean, it's so strange to see kind of how cyclically this happens over and over and in different ways. And I will say this, if Freddie Kitchens can right the ship down the stretch, win these easy games and show us a vision for this offense that can translate into something in the future, then you sort of tinker with your staff in the offseason. You obviously throw a bunch of money at the offensive line problem. Okay, that's fine, I think. But it's weird that there are still things sort of percolating down the stretch here, odd sort of things that shouldn't be happening that are popping up, you know, in the middle of a game or like you guys have mentioned on Twitter. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that shouldn't be happening at this point in the season, which is why I think a lot of people are starting to have this conversation now.
And obviously the biggest thing, Baker and his regression after a tremendous rookie season in which we were all convinced that he was going to be the next star quarterback. He's gone big time backwards this year, Connor. And you know, he's thrown 7 touchdowns, 12 picks. His numbers, you know, completion percentage, QBR, all that stuff. He's either at the bottom or near the bottom. What do you make of Baker Mayfield right now, and how much blame do you put on him for how poorly the team is playing?
Well, I think that, you know, I think you can go back to last year as well. I mean, you know, look at the stretch that they played at the end of the season that really cemented what we thought of Baker Mayfield. You know, the fact that Freddie Kitchens comes in to run an offense and at least for the first time ever implements some of the college stuff that he's familiar with. No teams have any sort of record on Freddie Kitchens, so he's hard to defend. And so this offense, you know, kind of is a breath of fresh air a little bit over the later half of 2018. 2019 comes, not a lot has changed, except Baker Mayfield doesn't have a lot of time in the pocket. And so, you know, he's learning all the things that maybe he needed to learn as a rookie kind of on the fly this season. I think this is more of a rookie season for Baker Mayfield than last year was. So, you know, the third season is always really the big one, right, for a highly drafted quarterback. But you don't never want to see those numbers go down as much as they have.
We're talking with Connor Orr, MMQB. Connor, today the Jaguars announcing that Nick Foles will start over Gardner Minshew when they come back from the bye. I disagree with that call. What do you say?
I like it. Okay. You know, I think that it gives them a little bit of an advantage going down the stretch because there's definitely a segment of the offense that you've installed for Nick Foles that Gardner Minshew either couldn't run or it just didn't fit with what you were doing. And I think that gives you a huge advantage down the stretch. They have a really soft schedule to the end of the season, so they're going to be able to throw stuff at teams that they haven't seen on film ever, or at least at the beginning half of this season. And at that point, if I'm Doug Marrone, I mean, that's really all you want. You want professional, competent quarterback play with no dips and valleys, and you want to show other teams stuff that you haven't shown them before because, believe it or not, you know, they're still in the playoff hunt here, and we had to make our mid-season picks, and I really like their the end-of-the-season schedule for them. So I'm kind of feeling that a little bit. I think that they might be able to sneak in here.
Has Cam Newton played his last game for the Panthers?
I think so, yeah. You know, I think this is one of those situations where they've reached an end point with them, with Cam. And, you know, I think it's sad. I think that they've definitely sort of squandered the prime, the athletic prime of a talent that we're not going to see again for a long time in the NFL. I mean, to be in only one Super Bowl, I think with that caliber of a player, to kind of sit him behind these bland pro-style offenses for as long as they did is a real shame. But I think there's going to be a big market for him this offseason. I think he's going to have a suitor, and there's going to be a lot of coaches out there because, you know, the quarterback landscape is shifting again, I think, and there's going to be a lot of buyers, especially with not a ton of talent at the top of the draft in 2020 beyond Tua and, you know, a couple other guys.
Final thing, Lamar Jackson was the fifth quarterback taken in last year's draft. In their sophomore seasons, for all of them, he has by far played the best football. If you were starting a team now and could take one of those five guys, would you take him first?
I would, but I would also take the Ravens owner, the Ravens offensive coordinator, and the Ravens head coach and their general manager, because what's the common denominator here? And this goes back to what we were talking about with the Browns. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody was all in on building an offense around Lamar Jackson, and this is what happens when you have organizational alignment, right? That could have been Sam Darnold. It could have been Josh Rosen. I think any of the guys that Baltimore would have taken, as long as they had this idea to build an offense around them, it would have been successful. But, you know, Lamar Jackson is an extra special player and obviously puts that over the edge.
Connor, appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. Connor Orr, MMQB.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.